Welcome to Ikoyi Baptist Church. Thank you for tuning into our podcast services. Listen and be blessed.
Finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice. I don't know whether to say that this is a final message that I'll be preaching in the presence of our Reverend, but I feel that this is quite appropriate. Our message today will zero in on the benediction, but with more emphasis on the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. The writer of this book was Paul, the apostle. This epistle is a follow-up of an earlier writing correcting the Corinthian church of some immoral acts and ungodly lifestyle that sprang up in the church. The church in Corinth was a very problematic church. And ironically, is a church that is so gifted with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But Paul had to, as their father, had to put his feet down to correct some of the errors there. This letter that Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians is the second letter that marked his preparation for his third missionary journey to Corinth. The joy in the heart of Paul while he was writing this letter is that he had received commendations and report from Timothy and Titus that this church, this very problematic church, is beginning to fall in place. They are beginning to take correction. And so Paul was very happy to write this letter. And where we have read today is the conclusion of all Paul has written. Verse number 11 to 14 can be divided into three parts. Number 11, which is verse 11, is live in peace. Live in peace. And verse number 12 to 13 talks about salutation, greeting them. And verse 14 talks about the benediction. For the purpose of our topic this morning, we shall be considering verse 14 alone, which is the benediction. For the honor of God's word, I want us to stand on our feet as we read verse 14 together. As we read verse 14 together, can we take the version on the screen? The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. The sermon this morning, from that verse 14, will be divided into three parts. I will take 3 points from verse 14. If you ask me to do a thorough job, we can take 3 days on verse 14 alone. But we are not going to take 3 days. We'll just consider, we will look at what the Lord really wants us to take home this morning. One is Paul's prayer for the grace. Number 2, we are going to be looking at Paul's prayer for the love of God. Number 3, we are going to be looking at Paul's prayer for the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. We shall be laying emphasis on that third point, which is the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. And for the purpose of brevity, I will just touch or we'll look at the first 2 points briefly. Paul's prayer for the grace of the Lord. Now the benediction, like we all know, is a combination or declaration of God's blessings over the people of God. And it's an invocation of the triune in one God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. 3 in 1. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son, the love of God, the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, the Son. You see that the Trinity is complete in the invocation of this prayer. Paul's prayer for the grace was for the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to make some little emphasis on the grace. This is a prayer that every one of us should cling to all the days of our life, because grace is what separates us from the unbelievers. Grace is what is keeping us alive. Grace is an acronym for God's riches at Christ's expense. Grace is powered by Christ. Grace is a product of Jesus Christ, of what Jesus has done. Grace is coined from a Greek word called charis. Charis is not only grace, cannot only be interpreted as grace, but can also be interpreted as kindness. In other words, to be kind is to show a disposition of favor to the recipient. Brothers in the Lord, I pray for someone here today, this morning, that as Paul prayed, God will show you grace. He will show you kindness. In areas of your life where you have been struggling, grace will answer for you. What you cannot do for yourself, grace will do for you this morning. In the name of Jesus, His favor will find you out. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Grace make the unqualified become qualified before God. Where you have been rejected last week, you will go back this week and you will be accepted because grace is speaking. Am I speaking to somebody here today? Hallelujah. For the sake of grace, God shows mercy. I met a man of God who told us a story about himself. He was looking for a job, and he went to this company, and he met the chairman was a known person to his father, and they have been very close friends. And the chairman's determination is that he will have a job in that company. And you know what? He told him, he said, "My boy, you know what you do? Prepare for the interview. These and these are the questions I will ask you. And this is the response I am expecting from you. Just know one of the leading newspapers." Well, this young man prepared and he went for the interview. But he was not really fit for it. And you know what? When he sat in the panel, every question they asked him, he failed woefully. Despite that the chairman have hinted him of what to expect. And he looked, and suddenly the chairman has said, "Tell us one of the leading newspapers in this country." And he mentioned Concord then. This was a long time ago. How many of us still remember Concord newspapers? All right. He mentioned Concord. And the chairman said, "Yes, very good. Very intelligent boy. Very intelligent boy." A man that was not qualified for the job. The chairman endorsed that he be given the job by hook or crook. When grace is speaking for a man, what you have does not matter. It's what God have in his hands. And he got the job. But somehow, God was calling this young man to be a pastor. And the story had it that he, with time, left the job and became a pastor. I am praying for somebody here today. God will stand and he will speak for you in the name of Jesus. In chapter 2, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. I want us to see that 8 verse 9. It says, "You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that through he was rich, though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, Let me announce to us that grace is an exchanger. He will take your nothing and give you something. In the name of Jesus. Grace makes you special. Grace is that aspect of God that distinguishes a man. What makes the children of Israel so special is a product of grace. It's not what they are doing. In fact, these children of Israel will often sin again and again, but grace is speaking. What are the sources of grace? Grace only has its source in Jesus Christ. John chapter 1 verse 17 says the law came through Moses. Chapter 1 verse 17. But grace and truth came through the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to announce to somebody here today. You are here. You have not given your life to Christ. I want to introduce to you another aspect of grace. It comes through Jesus. I pray for you that you will take this advantage and link up with the Lord Jesus so that your life will be beautified with grace. I always love this song, "Give Me Grace to Follow." And that is what makes our life different. Give me grace to follow. I need your grace to follow. Abundant grace to follow. Your grace is enough for me. Give me grace to follow. Abundant grace to follow. Miracle grace to follow. Your grace is enough for me. Our food for thought last Sunday was that when you run alone, it is called race. But when you run with God, it is called grace. Is somebody here today? You want to run with God? Grace will be your portion in the name of Jesus Christ. Give me grace to follow. Our life is powered by grace. Grace, grace, and grace alone. Paul's prayer for the love of God. Number two, Paul's prayer for the love of God. The love of God can be divided into two parts. Number one, the love of God and the love for God. Listen, this is a wonderful dimension of what we can enjoy when we come so close to God and get acquainted with God. The love for God, the love of God, and the love of God. In John, 1 John chapter 4, verse 16, the Bible tells us that God is love. God is love. The love of God is an emblem, it's an identity. It's an identity that makes us to know that this belongs to God. When the love of God touches a man, that man becomes an object of delight before him. Anytime, anywhere, and any day, that man becomes God's priority. In his list, God puts you on a special scale because of love. The love of God is an identity. It's an emblem. It's a sign of ownership. John 13, verse 35, tells us that by this will all men know. By this will all men know that you are my disciples. Love is God's identity stamp on a man. I pray that somebody here today, God will locate you as his own. His love will show up in your life. Number two, the love of God triggers God's provision. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. It tells us about the love for God. And that is where I want to challenge us to this morning. Chapter 2, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. It says, "But it is written, eyes had not seen, nor ears heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man. What God has prepared for them that love him." Listen, love is a trigger. When you love God, there is no end in sight on how far God can go for you. God will prepare a special package for you. God will make you, put you in a special list in his agenda. Love is a great trigger when it comes to the agenda of God. We see in Romans chapter 5 verse 5, the Bible says the love of God is poured abroad in our hearts. God is the one that distributes his love. How do I know a man, a woman, a boy, a girl that loves God? It shows in your might. It shows in your strength. It shows in your will. The Bible says that this is one of the greatest commandments. And it says it's to love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your might, with all your strength, and with all your will. Listen to me. When I want to identify a man that loves God, I look at where he puts his strength. When I want to identify a man that loves God, I look at him where he puts his will, his desire. And that is why some of us have defied the weather to be here. Amen. It's because the love of God constrains us. Listen, when you love God and you can go any length for God, God will stand up for you. God will stand up for you in the name of Jesus. Deacon Stephen, in Acts of Apostle tells us, we saw this man who stood for Christ despite the persecution. And the Bible says that while he was being stoned to death, he lifted up his eyes and the Bible said he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God. That is the only place in the Bible I've seen Jesus standing. Every other scripture in the Bible will say Jesus sitting at the right hand of God. When a man stands for God, Jesus will stand up for you. Hallelujah. I pray for somebody here today. Our love will go so strong that we will stand up for him. Even when things around us are telling us to compromise, we will stand up for Jesus. Even when the economy is telling us to compromise, we will stand up for Jesus in the name of Jesus Christ. Let's look at point number 3, which is where we are really going. Paul's prayer for the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was what started the New Testament church. In Acts chapter 2, verse number 1 to 4, we see the dynamism of the Holy Spirit in display. The Bible says the Holy Spirit came like a rushing mighty wind and filled the place where the apostles were sitting. He filled the place where the apostles were sitting. That is the beginning of the activities of the Holy Spirit in the life of the apostles. The word fellowship is coined from a word called koinonia, and it also means communion. Listen, let's take it a step further. Communion suggests communication. The Holy Spirit is a speaking spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus elaborated on the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, Jesus said, is a comforter. I love that word. He is a comforter. John chapter 14, verse 26. The Holy Spirit is a comforter. I took time to look at that word, comforter, and I discovered that the original word that was used there, that was translated as a comforter, actually can be interpreted as a standby, as an advocate. It really makes so much sense to me that the Holy Spirit will be your standby. Each time your strength is failing you, the Holy Spirit is there to pick up. I know that some of us, we are very used to this. You know, in Nigeria, we our generator is more of regular power supply than the PACN or whatever. so that PACM becomes our standby. Praise the Lord. The Lord will help us. So in those homes where we have automatic switch over, when the light goes on, the standby does what? It takes over. And that is the activity, how the Holy Spirit works in us. Where our strength fails, we discover that there is an energy that is keeping us afloat. That is the standby. The Holy Spirit, our comforter. The Holy Spirit, our advocate. I discovered also that the activities of the Holy Spirit, we have not really appropriated it so much in the life of the modern day church. And that is what I want to introduce to us today. How many of us take time to know that we can fellowship with the Holy Spirit? We can fellowship with the Holy Spirit. I want us as a church, we were going to take a particular song together, Sweet Holy Spirit, Sweet Heavenly Dove. Is Brother Reginald there? Thank you. I just want us to follow the lyrics of this song, and we're going to take the chorus together as a church. There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place.
There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place, and I know it is the Spirit,
it's the Spirit
of the Lord. There are sweet expressions on each face, and I know it is the presence of the Lord. Sweet Holy Spirit,
want us to take the chorus together as a church. Sweet Holy Spirit, everybody.
Sweet Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit. If only we will be sensitive to him, our life will be better off. The Holy Spirit is God's last resort for the church before we are taken home. The Holy Spirit is what you need in your life daily. We need to cultivate a friendship with Him. We need to get closer to Him every day of our life. In the beginning, in Genesis 1, the Holy Spirit was the Godhead that moved in the water, in the deep. He unites us. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3. The Holy Spirit brings joy to our hearts. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6. The Holy Spirit empowers us. The Holy Spirit is a seal on our life. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. The Holy Spirit prophesies through us. I can go on and on and tell us the activities of the Holy Spirit in our life. If only we know, and we know that the Holy Spirit can help us to obey God, we will get closer to Him. We will yearn for Him. The Holy Spirit speaks in Revelation chapter 2, verse 7, tells us that the Spirit, this is what the Spirit of God says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit does, what? Say to the church. I give you this testimony. I was working with somebody around Oshodi. Then Oshodi has not been restructured. You know, we are in the days of restructuring. You know, Oshodi was still the rough Oshodi, as we know, trading along. And I was working with a sister, and suddenly I felt the nudge of the Holy Spirit in me, and I felt that I was going to see somebody that I have not seen for a while. And I just whispered to the sister, I said, "Sister, I have a feeling we're going to meet somebody that I have not seen before for a very long time." Before we took 3-4 steps, I saw somebody that called me, Jerry Cray, and we exchanged pleasantries. Somebody that I have not seen for a while. And the sister turned to me and said, "Did you see him before?" I said, I didn't see him. The Holy Spirit can be involved in very minute matters because he's a standby. He's an advocate. That is the Holy Spirit. A brother of mine, an evangelist, he was in a bus traveling, and suddenly the Holy Spirit whispered to him. He said, "In 30 minutes' time, this bus is going to have an accident." Meanwhile, the bus was moving in top speed, and the driver was playing this Igbo song from the east. Ibiri o, Ibiri kambiri, and everywhere was heating up. See, and the Holy Spirit in the midst of the noise whispered to my brother, in 30 minutes' time, this bus is going to have an accident. And suddenly my brother stood up and said, "Driver, stop this bus. This bus is going to have an accident in another 30 minutes. The driver was not hearing it because the driver was in front. And a lady that was sitting close to him, he said, "What did you say?" He said, "In 30 minutes time, this bus is going to have an accident." And the lady shouted, driver, accident want to happen. So nobody wants to die. You know that? And so the driver's attention was called, and they stopped the vehicle. Everywhere got calm. And he said, "So what do we do? Oga, what do we do?" He said, "We wait, park." And they were waiting. He said, "How long do we wait?" He said, "Another 30 minutes. So they were looking at their time. They were looking at their time. 30 minutes. Some vehicles were just passing by. And he said, "We cannot go. Let's enter the bus." And they entered the bus, and they were going. Not too long, about 30 minutes drive from where they were, they saw a very fatal accident. I didn't say ghastly accident. Fatal accident. People's parts were disassembled. And they stopped, they looked, and the passengers faced my brother and asked him, "Oga, are you a man of God?" He said, "Do I look like a woman?" Praise the Lord. So that gave him boldness to take charge of the day. He preached. He was in control. That is what the Holy Spirit can do. The Holy Spirit is our comforter. Acts chapter 9, verse 31. The Holy Spirit helps us even to cast out demons. Jesus said, "If I cast out demons with the prince of demons, then you are saying something else." See, it is the Holy Spirit at work. The list is endless. Is somebody here today? you want to talk to the Lord, I want you to bow your heads. I want to invite you. You are here. You want to ask the Lord, God, my life has been emptied. No grace in my life. I want to look up to you for today. You have looked at your life and you see that there are so many areas of your life that you have been struggling. Say, listen to me. When God decides to replace your labor with favor, you will achieve what you have never achieved for many years. You want to respond to God and say, God, make me a recipient of your grace today. I have struggled too much. I have toiled through the night. Make me a candidate of your grace today. I want you to lift up your hands as I will call another category. Join me as we stand to the Lord. If you want to say, God, let your grace work for me. Let your mercy work for me. There's somebody here. Your life has been so shattered. You don't feel God again. You need God to touch you afresh. And you want the Holy Spirit to be your standby, to walk with you in this journey of life. I want you, if you are here, lift up your hand as we will pray together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit will be with us. I see that hand up. God bless you. As you identify with the Lord, the grace of God will appear to you in the name of Jesus Christ. When we say the benediction, let us say it is beyond. The benediction is beyond just grace. We only emphasize on the grace. Actually, the benediction is a combination of the grace, the love, and the fellowship. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for that hand that is lifted up, cause grace to be her portion in the name of Jesus Christ. Glory to God. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We hope you were blessed. Ikoyi Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 5-7 Latif Jakande Road in Ikoyi of Lagos State, Nigeria. You can find us on Facebook as Ikoyi Baptist Church or reach the church directly via phone at 0163-20485 and 0163-20486. For more information, please visit the church website at www.ikoyibaptistchurch.org. We look forward to having you back next week.